is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Prime Social. This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. Tyler is back in the studio right here on ESPN 97.5, live from Prime Social. We got four tables going right now. There were six tables going just about, I don't know, less than an hour ago, Rich told me. It's unbelievable here. It is just unbelievable. If you're a poker player in the city and you're not at Prime, you're just not in the action. That's all. And it's so easy. Easy to get to right here at Stony Brook and Westheimer, just off Voss. So come on. It's the action is going fast and furious. PLOs, hold 'em, whatever you want.
PLOs means pot limit Omaha.
Pot limit Omaha. And yesterday they had the freeze out tournament at 1 o'clock. It was fantastic. Fantastic. I got my tens cracked. And that's okay. I still feel good about the way I played and life in general. But that's all right. And they had, four tables going on the tournament. They had almost 40 players for 1 o'clock, 5,000 guarantee. And there were 10 cash tables going. It was just a great day here. They picked up right where they left off. If you're looking for poker, this is it right here at Prime Social.
Are we done with the A's?
Yes.
It hadn't been that fun to play the A's lately.
Well, hopefully the A's, I don't know, I don't want any, you know what, if you want to know the truth.
Yesterday the Astros lost 3-2. Verlander, got dinged early is the only runs that they're getting. I mean, and that's the case. When he's not going to have a bad outing. He'll just get popped with a home run.
Well, he had 70 pitches through three innings yesterday.
Yeah, that was, and then
he couldn't find his first pitch strike was. He only hit 7 of his first 16.
Yeah,
and that's not Verlander.
No, that's not Verlander at all. He can pick and nibble, but when he wants to get a strike, he's going to get a strike. This wasn't the case yesterday. And the other thing is,
giving up three runs, and we're like, well, he sucks.
In six, that's a 4-5.
Yeah.
It's a 4-5. That's not great for a game.
It's a quality start. Thank you.
Yeah, that is a quality start technically, but it was still the Astros bats once again just a little silent. I mean, they either give you baseball scores or they scuffle
football.
A little bit.
Football scores.
I mean, baseball. Yeah, I mean, football scores or they scuffle.
Well, they always scuffle.
14, 21, 15.
Almost identical to Roger Clemens in 2005. Almost and Randy Johnson.
But they didn't get that much.
Huh?
They didn't get run support in other games. I guess he's the guy that doesn't get a ton of runs.
He never gets it. They had to hit the home run in the ninth inning to give him a no-hitter. I mean, with two outs in the ninth.
Toro. Where is Toro?
It's Toro. This is, for whatever reason, it was the same with Roger Clemens in 05. It was the same with Randy Johnson in 98. They just, whenever your ace is on the mound,
I mean, look,
just
you need
struggle.
15 with Wade Miley, I get it. But couldn't you save a little for, I mean, couldn't you just get a 5 spot for Justin?
Anything. Just save a couple of runs.
Here's the Astros' runs over the last 10. Oh, my God. You are right. Here's the Astros' runs over the last 10 games. Two.
Verlander starts, you're saying.
Verlander starts,
yeah.
Two runs. And I'm working backwards. Two runs yesterday. Two runs. Two runs. 15, 1, 2, 7, 3, 2, 4. That is low.
That's nothing.
That is low.
For one of the greatest offenses in baseball history.
He's won by more than two runs. Justin Verlander, who's got the inside track to Cy Young.
Well, and the best ERA in baseball.
When he loses, he's not going to lose by more. His losses are 7-8, 2-3, 1-2, 2-3. Those are the losses. Yeah. Here's the wins: 2-1, 2-0, 3-1, 2-0, 4-2, and of course he had the one 15-1. I mean, hanging that down. The Astros offense just allows them to stick around, and he's having to work overtime to get there. Another 100 pitch game for Verlander. That's his third consecutive.
Well, and let me before we move on.
Yep.
He does not have the lowest ERA in baseball. That belongs to Hyun-Jin Ryu and Max Scherzer. Verlander now is up to 2.58. He upped his ERA to 2.58. Scherzer's 2.56, and Hyun-Jin is 245. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, so correction.
Where's Cole?
Cole is 273, right behind. Well, actually, Mike Soroka and Jacob DeGrom are both lower than Cole. But it's Verlander, Cole, 1-2 in the American League with Mike Minor and Charlie Morton now. So this is where Wade Miley was before he gave up 12 runs in one out.
Uh-huh.
He was right in this neighborhood, and now he's not anymore.
Yeah.
Now he's not anymore.
He's not.
He's at the point that I'm like, I don't even know if this guy makes a playoff roster.
Well, I don't know. You know what? You got to do it because, I mean, it's not like we're brain surgeons, but when you go back and you look at his starts and you see what he does in August and September when he's been healthy all year, when he's on about his 20th to 25th start or so, he is going to have problems.
He's so, just been so
you know
wildly
what?
Inconsistent.
How about, you know, they haven't made any announcement yet.
No.
I know, but here's the deal. Urquidy looked really good. He looked fine the other night, but that's an AJ special. If Urquidy is fine for five innings, you got to pull him. But you're gonna have to skip a Miley start. You're gonna have to just let him rest, let his mind. A buddy of mine was with his agent during that game, and his agent just started drinking.
Whose agent?
Miley's agent. He was with Miley's agent
for
that game, and they sat down in the first inning and they started eating. And he goes, "Give me a drink. Give me another drink. Give me another drink. Give me another." He started drinking heavily, and he goes, "Well, we saw some improvement, got one out. So there's some improvement. Oh, my God. It's all and the thought is it's all in his head. I think it's Wade Miley. Once the season wears on, Wade Miley wears down. I mean, and it's in the numbers.
Yeah.
So give him a break.
You know what? I mean,
give him a break. Give him a rest.
So I don't know if I hope that's what it is or I don't hope that's what it is.
Well, you hope he's hurt.
Yes, I was thinking I wanted to say that. Now I don't want to say that.
No, you don't want that. You don't want
because
that.
Because if he's hurt, then it's probably going to be in the shoulder and shoulder elbow, and nothing good has ever come from that. And that's going to take more likely to be shut down the rest of the regular season for sure. Richard Justice will join us at 7:30. We'll talk about Wade Miley. We'll talk about the situation with Wade Miley and the Astros and what they're going to do. You know, what the future looks like. I mean, we know what they're going to do. The Astros are in the best shape of anyone in professional baseball when it comes to the 1-2-3. We're a little spoiled now with, like, why isn't Zach Greinke also challenging for the Cy Young? Why can't we have three pitchers? I mean, this is as close as we've seen to the Braves. I mean, we've seen some rotations where there have been three really good pitchers or guys who have really big names. But this is as close as I've seen to, like, three dominant quality pitchers like Smoltz, Glavine, and Maddux.
Yeah.
We got Greinke, Verlander, and Cole. That's right there with it.
Yeah, no.
That's
yeah.
right there with it. So
now got to do it for a while like those guys did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we're, you know, but Wade Miley is a little bit of a concern, but I mean, if Wade Miley is out for the year because of an injury or because there's something wrong with his arm or a dead arm or whatever, it's not going to be the end of the world at this point. Of the season. It's not the end of the world for the Astros. But I would like to know, the Astros have got to have an opinion about this. This is just so the polar opposite of anything we've ever seen from Wade Miley as an Astro. So we'll visit with Richard Justice.
But see, I think he's heading toward, it's the Peter principle, right? I mean, Wade Miley is not supposed to be fourth in the league in ERA. He's just not. And we knew that. And he's going to be not middle of the road, but just a if he lasts the whole season, guess what?
Yeah, but
he's going to be about middle of the road.
I don't think it's just Peter principle. I think it's a substantial. I mean, right now it looks like a substantial crash, and the worry is it's a historical one because of fatigue. And so,
well, that's why you got to skip a start. I mean, if they don't skip his next start after the last two that he's had and the last five starts that he's had, then they're just turning a blind eye and just going. You keep throwing him out there and just hoping. You know, they're a much smarter organization than that. You got to give this guy a rest, I mean, mentally and physically. He needs a break. He's been there all year, and just you know, if he's got to take a start or two off, and then get his head right and get his body back stronger, then that's what you do. Because right now, otherwise, Urquidy is your fourth starter in the playoffs.
Okay. Well, once again, I'm not worried about a fourth starter. I've seen it before, and I think the Astros could shut it down and stay out of the fourth starter game if they need to. And Urquidy actually has had three of his last four, if I remember correctly, were pretty good. When he's been asked to pitch, he's actually done okay. And look, he doesn't have the dominant stuff, but he gets punch outs because it moves.
If that's the case, if you're up 2-1, I think you start Urquidy, but you know obviously AJ has a short leash. He has a short leash with Miley. He has a short leash with everyone not named Verlander, Cole, and Greinke. They're going to have a short leash, and if that's the case, it's almost like it might even be like an opener. Yeah. You know, you're going to use the bullpen, which is even scarier if you want to know.
Do you get
truth.
Texts like this during the show from your wife ever? It's just read the bottom. And it's a picture. It says, "Why is there toothpaste in my sink?" 3 question marks and a picture of the sink with little. She found some toothpaste.
I thought she maybe fell and she took a picture or
she
something.
She found some toothpaste. She wanted to make sure that I saw, why is there toothpaste left?
Well,
in my
did
sink?
You answer her?
No.
Well, why is there toothpaste in her sink?
She does ask a legitimate question,
it.
Lance.
I didn't see it.
Is it the toothpaste that you...
You know what I'm going to answer? I'm going to say, it must have dropped off my toothbrush.
Yeah, explain it to her.
Or, I'll give her answer.
Or how about it was Maddie?
Oh. She was asleep. I can't. I used the kids as...
From last night.
You should say...
I used the kids. She didn't brush teeth in there.
You should say...
She might. She might have last night. You
something
don't know.
Along the lines of, you know the time it took for you to text me? You could have simply... You know, turned on the faucet, and the toothpaste would have gone away.
That's not the answer.
That's a great answer.
It's the answer I would like you to respond with.
I promise you that's not the answer.
That's the answer.
Hey, excuse me. How long did you think it would take for you to turn on the faucet and wipe the toothpaste away?
She's done that thing like, hey, you didn't lock the back door. That's the man's job to make sure the house is safe. You know, she's decided there's... See, I like
this.
Now there's
a division of labor now.
So hey, I hit her with, this is your job.
Well, then make me a sandwich. Hurry up and make me a sandwich so I'll be strong enough to lock the door.
You should know. The issue is I have a problem with you texting me, actually. There should be grease on your fingers from cooking.
Is there bacon grease on your
screen? You should
Did
even,
you get up and make me breakfast?
You shouldn't even have a legible text.
Woman,
there should be too
when
much
I left,
grease
she wasn't even
finger.
There because Listen, she's running whatever, 9 miles.
Then you know what she needs? She might need a new vanity now because you left toothpaste in the sink. You know who you call?
Who?
Jeff Aronoff, Absolute Marble
there
and Granite. That's exactly what you do. Because there's toothpaste left in your sink, you need a new vanity. There you go. There's the answer. How about one where the toothpaste doesn't stick to the bowl? And, slides it out. That's what Jeff Aronoff can put in there for you. Listen, when you take a look, when you see the selection that he's got, when you see how unbelievable, how nice you can make it for, and not a lot of money. I'm telling you, it's so economically now with granite and marble. And sure, it's more expensive because it's nicer. Everything will be nicer. It makes a huge difference. And Jeff will help you pick it all out. He will help you. You don't need an architect to build your outdoor kitchen because Jeff will get that job done as well and make it look unbelievable. You want a new patio. Hey, all of you bars that want to put in a patio, Absolute Marble and Granite is here for you. Jeff will get that job done. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Get 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener at Absolute Marble and Granite.
You can now listen to all your favorite. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Prime Social. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, live from Prime Social. Okay, Richard Justice is going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll talk baseball with him. Warren Sharp is going to join us at 9:30, and that is he is a football machine. That's going to be interesting to see to his thoughts. And by the way, he has a service that will help you win football games, betting football games. So we've got that going on at 9:30. And Tillman's going to join us today to talk about his new book and the Houston Rockets. Tillman's in the news today. Tillman's going to join us in the 10 o'clock hour. Here's a quote from Tillman in Yahoo Sports today. He said, this is the time. I just re-signed Eric Gordon, who's 30. I got Russell and James and Eric and Clint for the next 4 years. P.J. Tucker is 34, and our two stars are 30. So this is their window. Let's seize the opportunity. He says, if we don't win it, put ourselves in the position, if we don't win it in the next 3 or 4 years, we probably aren't going to win one in the next 10 years.
I think that's fair.
I think that's fair, too. It's three, four years is a – now, that's that everybody stays healthy, that the Russell-Westbrook-James Harden relationship stays copacetic.
That's the biggest concern.
I think that is.
What's the bigger concern to you? If I had to ask you guys, what do you think – and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here. I think we all know that the biggest concern on the Rockets, some might say it's age or whatever, but I really think it's clearly how do the two stars get along. I mean, that's the biggest concern, and I feel like there's an inevitable conclusion that I don't want to face, and I'm just hoping it doesn't come to that.
Well, Tillman says they both grew up in L.A. They're lifelong friends. They've been playing playing basketball with and against each other for years and years. So when they say something on the court to each other, they're not going to be offended.
That's I don't know. That's easy to say that now, but when they played basketball together in L.A., James wasn't right here. Russell wasn't right here. They're in different places, and it's the same. And so what I want to bring up is another thing that's very similar to that. Jarvis and Odell Beckham Jr. Now, Odell Beckham Jr., you also throw in, you know, because I think people kind of sleep on the fact that, oh, they both went to LSU and blah, blah, blah. Jarvis is going to want his catches, too. He's going to want his touches, too. And now you got Baker Mayfield, who I saw had his lowest quarterback percentage is when he threw to Odell Beckham. And apparently that was the case in New York, too, that Odell Beckham has become one of the quarterback ratings. It really drops when people have to talk because it feels like they're pressing and pushing to get him the ball. If I had to ask you where you think that it would A, B, or C. A, the Rockets' big duo will implode first. B, the Browns, or C, neither. Or D, both. Within 2 years.
D.
You think both of them within 2 years? I think Odell Beckham.
I think the Browns will implode first.
That feels inevitable with at least one player. That's really feeling inevitable with Odell Beckham right now. This watch thing is a very telling. Chris Carter had a really interesting commentary where I think he hit it out of the park, and he just said there's just a generation of players, and this is a little bit too general. He really needs – I mean, what he's talking about is Antonio Brown. He's talking about Odell Beckham. There's some players like this. And he said in sports, who it is really me over team. It's individual over team.
It's been going on a while.
It has.
And it's not just Ocho Cinco.
Well, it's not just players. It is, but now it is to the point where T.O., you knew when T.O. was on the field, like T.O. was serious about ball. He was a goof off the – T.O. was eccentric, but T.O. was a super competitive guy.
I think he loved playing football. Too, and I think Odell is too.
I don't know if Odell loves playing football.
I don't know about – well, I don't know, but he's serious about ball. He wants the ball.
Odell,
he wants to win.
He wants the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know – why is Odell, he wants the bag? Well, he's gone after it twice.
He plays hard.
When you have playoffs.
He plays hard. He wants to win.
Hold on a second. The week of the playoffs, the week when he's on the boat and all that stuff. Well, you know, in season, that was typically frowned upon. I never heard of T.O. T.O. really loved ball. Like, T.O. was a really good. He was just an a-hole. Chad Johnson was eccentric. Chad was more like Chad kind of was clowny sometimes, clownish sometimes with some of the stuff he did. But Chris, I'm going to try to find it. Chris Carter had some really interesting comments about the individual versus the team mentality now that's kind of come up in sports. And it's really crosses just the football lines. But with Odell Beckham, this watch thing, all this tells me to me when he says he's going to keep wearing it is he's getting paid more than his fine is. Because he's clearly getting paid by Richard Milley or whoever. He's getting paid, right? That's a watch. It's a $190,000 watch. It's currently retailing for $350. It's gone up since he's worn it, so it's gone up to $350 from $190. I did the research because I was wondering why these numbers were so different.
Yeah, there at first
it's
it was
$350, $250, then it's $190. It turns out it's $190, and it's now retailing at $350. It's gone up just since he's worn it almost 50%. He's clearly getting money to wear this. The fact that, or he's getting some, it's some kind of endorsement deal. Why would he continue to wear a watch and just keep getting fined for it? It doesn't make any sense. this is some kind of deal where he's getting something in return. And I just don't see what the purpose of something like that. You're brand new on the squad. You just took a loss. It was an embarrassing, terrible loss. Just why not just take it? Why not have the attention on you about this? And his whole thing was, if it wasn't this, it'd be something else. But that's a you're wearing a watch that retails for closer to $500,000 than it does $1,000, $10,000. It retails closer to $500,000 than it does to a Rolex. I mean, that's kind of crazy to me that's even a discussion that has to be had with the NFL player in a violent collision sport about wearing a watch.
Well, and it's dangerous. Reggie
Roby wore a watch when he used to punt. That was a weird thing. Of course, that's a punter. And that was also in the 70s and 80s and I think into 90.
And I would imagine it's a little dangerous for the guys. And that's probably the answer for the NFL is you can't wear any
jewelry. It's a hard, that's what they said. It's the hard
and how about,
shell case.
I mean, the last time wearing jewelry, they're ripping it off each other.
They allow jewelry.
And Crabtree. I mean,
they allow jewelry, though.
Yeah, which, again, ripped off while they're fighting. The two of them are fighting. I mean,
Yeah, but Odell Beckham didn't just stop there. Like, look, I know there's some attention on me this week. Let me add a little bit more attention. I think Greg Williams had a hit on me in a preseason game.
Yeah. Look, but you know what? I'm not hating him for that because I think there's always that possibility.
He said the guys on the other team were telling him, yeah, Greg, hey, you got a hit out.
Greg Williams is such a maniac that whenever I hear stuff about him, my dad told me, oh, yeah, I know Greg Williams. I was like, you know Greg Williams? It's like a mythical creature. He goes, what you see is what you get now. He said, Greg Williams is that same guy in locker rooms.
And is that – I mean, and when I heard this, I was like, yeah.
I was like, and
I hit on a guy. First of all, I hit on a guy.
Well, it's preseason.
You remember when he got kicked out of football?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
False allegations. Once again, the NFL trying to ruin the Saints. Trying to ruin the Saints again.
Knock out the head and the snake's body will follow. That Greg, it's just a kicker.
No. It's it was Brett Favre.
That was no, it was a lot of guys. Remember,
yeah, right?
And then you got Mike Ornstein,
like Greg Williams. Odell Beckham's going to play three plays, and he's not even going to run hard off the line. What are you doing? Why do you care about this in the preseason?
He's probably got a score to settle from 4 years ago.
Dude does need.
He's not even going to run any routes hard. What are you doing?
He has got to. Greg Williams.
He does need to settle down a little. Hey, Richard Justice is going to join us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. That's coming your way. But right now, I got to talk about your carpets, your floor, your upholstery, your drapes, your air vents, all of these things. What I need you to do right now is get to oopssteam.com. 250-degree heat. And it's plain pricing. You will call or talk or online. You will get a price. After you do it online, I guess they'll call you and they'll talk to you and they'll say, okay, are you sure that you don't have any? If you had beer or urine, obviously it's going to take more, so it's going to be a little bit more expensive. But that, you know what? Tell them, be plain, be honest, and you're going to get yourself an honest price when you get there. No upselling. Okay, they're just going to do what you want them to do, and then they're going to go. And it's easy. It's simple. They'll come to your home with trained and background screen professionals to get this job done. 281-822-0561, 281-822-0561, or oopssteam.com. Make sure you tell them you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Prime Social, this is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back live at Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. Get your poker on. There's three tables still going right now. It's unbelievable. So come on over and get in on the action here at Prime Social. Talking to baseball now, Richard Justice, your old friend of the show, the station.
Our old
here with us on ESPN 97.5, MLB.com, and Major League Network. It's the highest rated show on television whenever he's on. And he's with us here to raise our ratings on ESPN 97.5. What's up, Richie?
Old
friend. Yeah.
Old friend.
Oh,
our old buddy Richie.
Friend. Your buddy Richie.
So, buddy. Pew, pew,
so
pew.
Richard, John and I are really concerned about this Wade Miley thing. Although in the grand scheme of things, it's getting so late in the season that, you know, if there's something going on here, you can, you know, it doesn't have to really impact a big chunk of your playoffs. What is going on, Richard? Does the team, is it, I mean, tipping pitches would be one thing, but
right.
it feels like it's either physical or, once I went through the splits the other day, man, he's not a guy who does well after about 150, 160 innings once he gets in August and September.
That historically is true, and that's the first thing you worry about is he hurt. He says he's not hurt. Well, first of all, the manager might want to stop making jokes. I don't know if you heard before his last game, he said, well, at least get one out this time. And ooh, that's exactly what he got.
Yeah, that's what he got.
You know, the bottom line is there reason to worry? Yes. But when you look at the teams that are going to make the playoffs, if your fourth starter is your biggest worry, and I'm not saying it is, but that probably is true, then you're in pretty good shape. You know, the bottom line is if you're buying stock in these playoff teams, you're going to buy stock in the Astros first because of Verlander and Cole. The team has only lost back-to-back starts by those two guys twice this year. Once was in the first week of the season. 43-17 when they give the ball to those two guys. So that's where it starts. But is it a concern? Yeah. And I didn't know if he was going to pitch out of the bullpen. But he's, the next couple of starts are going to be pretty interesting to see what he's got. He says he's not hurt. The velocity looks like it's there. But that's what you worry about because the history is guy gets hurt a lot.
Richard Justice, MLB.com, with us here on ESPN 97.5. Is that the biggest concern? Because if you throw Urquidy or whatever happens, if Miley can't go, that's right. Just fine, Richie. But this bullpen is really, really thin, especially Presley being hurt. Will Harris is a guy that you've been able to count on, but historically he's a guy that fades at the end of the season. I don't know where this bullpen is right now.
I think you're right, and it's been the best bullpen in baseball for a lot of the year. Osuna hasn't been as reliable in the second half. Presley coming back is really important. And I'm telling you, they're counting on Josh James. And you're at the point where maybe he's playing his way right onto the bubble. Will Harris has been great this year, the whole year. So you got three guys you feel like you can trust, Osuna, Presley, and Will Harris. And then you just work backwards from there. When you compare it to everybody else, you know, the Dodgers are freaked out about their closer. The Indians' closer is getting an MRI today. It's just where we are in the game. You know, I mean, the Yankees have everybody hurt. They're sending three guys for MRIs today. And I think it's just sort of a survival game at this point. So Osuna looks better lately. Presley is angry that they won't let him do more. I think he's going to be activated today, right? And then Correa. So I think if you just get all your bodies back out there, and that means Correa and Presley, you take your chances and go play. But look, we were reminded in 2017, they had the best team. But if Bregman doesn't homer off Sale in game four, we're headed to game five. They have to win two elimination games at home against the Yankees to get to the World Series. And then Marwin hits an 0-2 fastball from the best closer in baseball over the center field wall in the ninth inning, or we ain't having a parade.
Absolutely. Richard Justice with us here on ESPN 97.5. But this is pretty similar to that team in that you're worried about that bullpen. What you're not worried about.
I would say this team is way better. The lineup is way deeper. The rotation is way better. Yeah. And now can you, you have to do it. But, you know, like if you think about this, right now you almost don't want the best record. You want the Yankees to have to play Oakland or Tampa. Oakland and Tampa might be the two best teams right now. Tampa's bullpen is unbelievable. Well, all these guys throwing 100, you don't want to play those guys. And so that's sort of the way it is. It's like a coin toss. Like the Nationals are going to be a wild card team, and they may be the best team right now, but their bullpen is a hot mess most nights too.
Do you have any pitchers in mind? Anyone that's, you know, I'd throw a Braves name out there, or Urquidy. Do you have anyone in mind that you think has been that will be a relatively late addition or a light addition from a season standpoint who could become a significant factor in the postseason for the Astros from a
those two guys, because Greedy throws strikes and Abreu's been really good. You know, they were 2 weeks ago, they were really counting on Josh James. And so it's going to come down to, can you trust him? And, you know, they don't have a lefty in the bullpen, but they, you know, I asked AJ, I said, so Josh James is good against lefties? And he goes, he throws 100. That tends to be good against everybody. Yeah. But, you know, he had a game, a really bad game against Oakland, and he sometimes pitches his way into trouble and pitches his way out of trouble. But he's nasty. So, I mean, I think if let's just presume Presley can come back. Then you're going to end games. You hope to end games with Osuna, Presley, Harris, and then mix and match in front of those guys. You know, does Davinsky make the playoff roster? I don't know. You know, how many they go with. Kyle Tucker's probably played his way possibly into being on the playoff roster.
James looked good last night. When that was a good sign.
Really good. Really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, Joe Smith is another guy.
Yeah, oh, he's definitely – now he's on. I mean, he makes it. I mean, they trust him.
What do you think about the Yankees' rotation with Severino coming back now? Is this enough time for them to heat up for the postseason?
I think they're going to give the ball to Paxton in game one. They're sending J-Hap. They're sending J-Hap, the catcher Sanchez. They're sending them for MRIs today. I think after Paxton in game one, they're probably going to maybe piggyback Herman and Sabathia, and then they don't know what to expect out of Severino. They have a reliever named Chad Green. They're 11-1 when they use him as an opener. Something like that. And I think that's, you know, it's what do we see the last two teams that won the World Series, the Astros and Red Sox? They just started playing the bullpen game almost from the first inning, if you had anyone other than Verlander pitching. And that, I think that's what they're going to do. The Yankees are just going to say, we got 12 pitchers out there, we're going to try to get 27 outs, and we have no idea how we're going to do it.
Yeah. Okay, which lineup do you take? Astros, a fully healthy Astros lineup, a fully healthy Yankee lineup? Which one do you want?
Oh, Astros. Man. I mean, this is scary. This is a scary lineup, you know. And that's the case for Bregman in that he doesn't get those unintentional walks that Trout might get. I mean, it's a really good. Adding Michael Brantley and Alvarez to the lineup has really made a big difference.
Yeah, okay, so the rotation is obviously Astros, bullpen, obviously Yankees?
Yeah, because you have more guys you can count on. But you got to do it, you know. Chapman's had his meltdowns, too, at times. But you would start by taking them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. The Yankees bullpen is, yeah, you got a lot more confidence in those guys.
Yeah, so Richard, right now as it stands, John and I have already talked about how baseball's multiple seasons wrapped into one season. Where would you kind of stack up the Astros right now as we head down the home stretch into the playoffs, just A through F in terms of just to give them a grade where they're currently at? Because we'd like to see them reaching into the B+A territory as you get there, but that's not where they are right now.
No, it's not. If you'd asked me Monday night, I'd say they're the best team in baseball, and it's probably – I think Fangraphs had them winning two more games than the Yankees and three more than the Dodgers, so getting home field all the way through, which meant they would play Tampa or Oakland. Now Fangraphs has the Yankees at 105, the Astros at 104, and the Dodgers at 103. And I think that's probably about right. You do want to get them back. You know, you want everybody feeling good about themselves as you go in, and I think mainly that means get Carlos Correa back in there and see if you can get him in a good frame of mind, and get Ryan Presley out there the same thing, and just get those, because if you just can get your main guys out on the field, you'll take your chances, because they're a really good team.
Richard Justice with us here on ESPN 97.5. So Verlander is the Cy Young, right? That's no doubt about it.
Verlander and Cole are 1 and 2. We owe Verlander for 2016 and 2018. He should have won both those, and he didn't win either one of them. So we owe him one.
He won the. I mean, he and Cole were neck and neck, and then the no hitter came, and I think he probably pulled away. Hopefully they
and
don't.
Then Cole comes with like a one hitter,
right?
They're 14 strikeouts. Their numbers are scary when you go through them about how similar they are, and you have to go really deep into them. And you can, if you wanted to vote for Gerrit Cole, you can make a big case for it. But the big boys, I mean, he's at 200 innings and 30 starts again, and that's a. I mean, he's done that all but 1 year of his career. I mean, the guy, he reminds me so much of Clemens in that he wants the responsibility. He wants to be the guy, and he takes that. Like last night, he stunk up the joint, and he would not leave the game, and he ends up, you know, what did he retire, 12 in a row to finish or something? I mean, that's what a number
pitches.
One starter does. And everything you say about that, you could say about Gerrit Cole, too. Who has gotten better here and is going to make himself a lot of money in the offseason.
Oh, my goodness. So you give Bregman any chance to beat Trout?
I made the case for him. I wrote a piece making the case for him and got all kinds of hate mail. No, I think Trout's going to win. But here's the case for Bregman. If you want to look for a tiebreaker, and their numbers are similar too, winning would be a tiebreaker in that he gets his at-bats in a playoff push atmosphere. Also, those walks, he's got 100 walks, Trout's got 100 walks, but Bregman's in a deeper lineup. Nobody pitches. You cannot pitch around Alex Bregman. You can't, what Bagwell says, the unintentional, intentional walk. You don't get any of those. And so you don't have as many 2-0, 3-1 counts as Trout does. Therefore, your slugging percentage is probably going to go down. I mean, you can make the case, having said that, Trout's going to win. It's probably going to be unanimous. There may be some of the older guys that punish him for not being on a winning team, but I think that's mostly gone away. But Alex Bregman is going to be an MVP, and he's a great player. I mean, I don't know if I've ever been around a guy that is admired by so many people. I was talking to the A's third baseman, Matt Chapman. They were roommates at Team USA when they were on Team USA. And he said, I'm telling you, the guy does nothing but eat, sleep, and drink about the game. And Verlander said his attention to detail is like maybe no one I've ever seen.
That's Richard Justice, MLB.com, MLB Network, right here. Old friend of the show, right
old
here
friend.
On ESPN.
Dear Richard.
The old friend, right here on ESPN.
Captain.
Richie, as always, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
All right. There's Richard Justice.
I want to jump in here and tell you about Minsky Clinic for a second. I had a friend of mine who just said, hey.
Richie?
No, it wasn't. This wasn't Richard Justice. Somebody else said, hey, on the Minsky Clinic thing, so what are they, what's that like? I don't have a lot of time when I have to come in. What's it like? And I said, well, I'm glad you asked. As a matter of fact, when you come in, you have a little bit of paperwork to fill out. And you can book an appointment or you can just drop in if you like. But the actual process of testing, getting your blood and an intestine right there on, right there in house, they can tell you whether or not you're low in testosterone very, very quickly. You can get the results back during the same time that you're sitting there waiting, and it's something where you get your answers. If you've got questions about whether or not you're low in testosterone because your energy levels dropped, you're noticing that your workouts aren't mattering anymore, you have the same belly flat, low testosterone can really have an impact on the way you metabolize, the way you think cognitively and you're processing, the brain fog. It can have an impact on libido. Just your general energy level is really affected. So get to my friends over at Men's Tea Clinic. You can go to mensteaclinic.com, find one of the five locations nearest you. That's mensteaclinic.com.
Hey, got to talk right now about mybookie.ag, promo code radio. I was looking over the line. As a matter of fact, we're going to do that real soon here. Mybookie.ag. And promo code radio. It's awesome, peeps. I'm telling you, nobody pays out faster. You get your cash when you want it. Sign up now. My bookie's going to double your first deposit. That's up to $1,000 in free money to bet your favorite teams. If you want more, how about $100,000 more? You win my bookie's first ever NFL handicapping super contest. $100,000 is all yours. Don't play on some no-name sports book. Bet with the best. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio to get your exclusive double your money offer up to $1,000. They will match right now at mybookie.ag, promo code radio. You play, you win, you get paid at mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Prime Social, this is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back live at Prime Social, 7801 West Homer. We still got three tables going right now. Unbelievable. There's no place in the city that's got three tables going overnight like this. They had six tables going at about 5 in the morning. So this will continue on as the day goes on. It's just going to be this place will be full. It's a Friday afternoon. It's going to be full. They've got every kind of game you could possibly want. Big tournament. Oh, this is a great tournament today. 10,000 guaranteed today. Starts at 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
10,000 guaranteed.
I'm playing.
You're going to play today?
Yep.
I'm not going to be able to. I'm driving to New Orleans. So what do you think about tonight with Houston and Wash State?
So I think Wash State's going to be tough to beat for Houston, but I think it's got a chance to be a rare. I actually think it's going to be one of the best games of the weekend in college football. It's not a great slate. And this is one where, to me, I think you'll see Dana's offense really start to click. Washington State is a pretty well-coached team across the board, but they always, like, anytime he gets – he really is a quarterback whisperer. I mean, he's had some good quarterbacks in there. Gardner Minshew may be one of his – but he only had him for a year, so he may be one of his better ones. But
this kid's pretty good.
They just do what they do. They're like the old – kind of like teams who run this, you know – they know what they run, and they do it, and it's year after year, it's clockwork. It's the same thing, so it's easy to acclimate. For new guys who come in, it's all they do is reps, 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 and it's the same offensive. There's a consistency year after year of what is expected of you on the field, not just expectations, but like how to play, X's and O's wise. And I think it becomes easier to coach when you know, kind of like with Kubiak with his outside zone running game, you know, this is the way you do it, and you need a ton of reps, and once you see it a bunch – You get instinctive as a blocker. You get instinctive as a runner. I think his wide receivers probably become kind of instinctive about what kind of routes they want to run if he gives them some choice routes and stuff. So,
what'll be interesting now is
he's a new quarterback though. His new quarterback.
What'll be interesting for the Cougs is whether or not Dana unleashes D'Eriq.
In what way?
Well, D'Eriq is more, I think, a Skylar Howard than he is a Graham Harrell.
Oh, 100%.
100%. So, well, he can throw the football. We'll have to see whether or not D'Eriq King has got to be more of a weapon. Now, he was somewhat in, and it took a while in the Oklahoma game, but we saw him. We saw him start to go.
Here's the concern.
Is him not getting down.
Dana, oh, yeah.
He's got to get down. He doesn't have that Russell Wilson. He's more RG3 in that he'll take an unnecessary hit.
Well, college quarterbacks have this ridiculous bravado. A bunch of them, like most of them, take hits. They feel like they got to finish their runs. They don't want to be punks and they don't want to be soft. Dude, King is not a big guy.
No,
he's super valuable, but you don't want him to stop running. Like that's the thing is. I would not want him to stop running. He's got to run. That's what makes him special. You've got to get him the ball in his hands and let him get out of the pocket. That's a big part of what he does. But he is going to have to say, all right, run's over, and go feet first and slide. Yeah, I mean, that's got to become – but I don't know that that's necessarily what's going to happen. I think he's going to be a run finisher, and that's going to be a concern.
Yeah, that's a problem. But Dana has, I think, grilled him on staying – you know what? Take a yard, take 3 yards less, and don't get hit. It for you, for the team, for everyone involved, we're all going to be better off if you play smarter. And secondly, I think they're really, 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 this team is so used to they were used to the Kendall Briles offense. They were used to just throwing it up. But the wide receivers are getting on theirs. Everybody, D'Eriq King is, you know, it's high-flying, highfalutin. It's nonstop. And Dana is a more run-oriented coach.
Yeah.
And you've got to dial it back. And the wide receivers, hey, you got to block more. You got to block downfield more. You got to be more committed to this.
A lot more wide receiver screens.
Well, listen, yes. Yeah. And I'm not – Well, they did plenty. Kendall did plenty of that too, though. But I'm not. You know what? I'm not going to get the ball as much. I've got to be more team oriented. I've got to block downfield. I got to be more altruistic in this as opposed to just getting my numbers as a wide receiver. I've got to make sure that I'm blocking downfield, and that's a mindset that's tough for guys who were used to just running and catching balls all day.
Yeah.
To have that kind of mentality.
Yeah.
And so but that's the only way they're going to win. This is different. This ain't Kendall Bryles offense. It ain't air raid.
Well, sometimes
Daniel runs the football.
But sometimes and the concern you have if you're Houston is that sometimes it takes getting to your second year. I mean, Tom Herman had this issue where you got to get to where it's your guys, not necessarily from a recruiting standpoint. Well, we all know that there's a lot of transfers coming in next year, which is going to change the complex. But there's a lot there now.
Yeah.
So there's still a learning curve, but either guys are going to be on board with what he needs or they won't.
Yeah.
And he'll figure that out as the year goes. You'll probably see some changes. And then next year, I think you'll see it, they'll be more bought in. Tom Herman had that same thing where he had to get buy-in. And he just said sometimes you got to sift through it and you let guys, graduate and finish up or go early so that you can get to where you want to be. Before we get to a break, did you see the comments? Dana was asked a question on another show. I didn't know he does like three shows in one day.
Right. Well, he did ours. And that night he was asked, he's going to be here.
He was asked a question about he and Leach and what's their relationship now? Oh. They just don't talk right now. Like when he saw him on the schedule, he's like, well, once I saw him on the schedule,
they don't talk.
They're just like,
there's a lot of coaches that won't.
No, I know. Yeah. That's so weird to me. He'll shake hands. Do you know Ballard won't text with me when the Texans play the Colts? Like I get like, what? Why am I getting it? I'm not on that team. I'm not trying to give anybody secrets away.
No, they're so.
It's just football people are different like that. They just like coaches and personnel people. You're the bad guys.
Yeah.
And he said, as soon as I saw it on the schedule, and then he said, it's a home and away. So it'll be like this for 2 years.
Yeah.
We won't talk, and then we'll go throw down at Key West. He said, maybe we get a coffee or something, in season. He said, but then we'll maybe go throw down a little bit at Key West after our home and away is done. I'm like, man, this guy is one of your buddies, and you're just going to shut him down for 2 years. But that's
football.
That's really how it is.
It absolutely is. Absolutely. And because you don't want to give anything away. And it's hard. I'm going to be playing. Hey, this is my livelihood. I'm playing against you. I don't like you. I don't like you anymore. Now, coaches or players, well, they don't care.
We've already seen like the AAU thing changed a lot in basketball, and I think football we see a lot of the. It's a relatively friendly thing for some guys.
Another thing that Dana said that day was how he's going to be he wants to be a U of H lifer, and that created a lot of comment on Twitter, a lot of comment and a lot of positivity. But then it was like, we'll see when Alabama comes calling. I don't really think Dana would take it. Nick leaves when Alabama comes calling.
What are you talking about? That's Dabo's job.
Yeah, right. He ain't getting that.
That's Dabo or Kirby. That thing's spoken for.
Right. All right, 713-780-3776. Once again, we had Richard Justice on. We're going to have Warren Sharp going to join us at 9:30. Tillman will join us at 10 right here, live from Prime Social. In the meantime, Lance.
Let's talk about my man, Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, my man Craig DeSerf. Love what they do over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. It's in Angleton, and for some of you, you may say, well, wait a minute now, that's a 45-minute drive. Yeah, and what do you want me to tell you? I mean, I drive that far out to see in-laws, and I love my in-laws out in Kingwood. It's not a problem at all for me to go from where I'm going out there. It's a little further drive, but what's the problem? It's not a problem, especially if you're riding in one of those rides from Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. But you want to talk about incentivizing. How about the fact that you can get brand-new trucks, brand-new SUVs, and brand-new crossover vehicles at deeply discounted prices going on right now? And if you want to see what some of those are, go to LanceZCars.com. You can even go to the special section where you get really great prices on some of those crossovers and pickup trucks right now. That few extra miles that you drive in Angleton will be well worth it, not just with how they treat you, but the prices are exceptional, and the trade-in value is untouchable. Their overhead is lower, so their prices are lower. It's really that simple. That's why so many of the Astros are buying their vehicles. So many of the players, I should say, have bought their vehicles. And my man, Carlos Correa, just got done purchasing a brand-new Suburban from Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Make sure you make the difference and you make the drive. Go to LanceZCars.com.